The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the In Session Film Podcast.
Welcome to our episode 230 bonus content for July 16th, 2017, and I am JD Duran. My lovely co-host, Brennan Cassidy, is still out, or at least at the time of this recording, he was unavailable. And coming off the heels of our discussion of War for the Planet of the Apes, there's been a lot of talk about Andy Serkis and his performance in this film, and really just in these three new Planet of the Apes films in a general sense, and how good he is. Does he deserve Oscar recognition for his performances in these films? That's a great question. It's something that we have tried to tackle over the course of the last few years on our show, but I wouldn't necessarily consider us, at least I wouldn't consider myself, an Oscars expert by any means, so I needed to bring on one of those to help further this discussion. So I went out and I gathered Matt Neglia from Next Best Picture to help dive a little further into this. Matt, welcome back to the show, man.
Hey, it's great to be back, JD, and hello to all the In Session Film Podcast listeners out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure a lot of them are familiar with you and your work, not just when you were here, but of course, over at Next Best Picture. You guys are doing a lot of great work. I know you guys talked about it on your show. You posted an article about it on your website regarding Andy Serkis, his Oscar potential. But in case anyone missed all of that or any of the discussion on our main show, I wanted to tackle this specifically and dive headfirst into it. Matt, what are Andy Serkis's realistic chances that the Academy will do something for him, perhaps an honorary Oscar? Or what are the chances that he just straight up gets nominated for his performance in War for the Planet of the Apes?
As far as getting nominated for his performance in War for the Planet of the Apes, I would say his chances are 5%.
Oh, man, that is so disheartening.
Well, we have some contextual evidence with his performance as Gollum in the Lord of the Rings films, which garnered him a lot of precursor support, both for The Two Towers and a little bit for Return of the King.
Yeah.
And his performance as King Kong didn't really merit as such acclaim, but then when he did his performance in Rise of the Planet of the Apes as Caesar, he gets a Critics' Choice Award Best Supporting Actor nomination. He showed up on a couple other critics' best of lists, but yet still the industry did not respond. No Golden Globe, no SAG, no Oscar. Now, Dawn, same thing, only the reception was even more muted from the critics this time around. And now with War for the Planet of the Apes, it's even tougher because he's not even in the Best Supporting Actor lineup.
He's the lead character.
The lead of the film. Yeah. So the lead actor category is always so stacked. I do not see how it is remotely possible unless if he gets a hell of a push in a campaign and the critics really, really do go to bat for him. You know, I was saying this a couple days ago that my two favorite male performances of the year have absolutely no shot at being nominated for an Oscar for lead actor, and that is Hugh Jackman and Logan, Andy Serkis in War for the Planet of the Apes. Oh, and wait, even by extension of that, my third favorite leading actor performance of the year, Kumail Nanjiani, for The Big Sick.
Sure.
He probably doesn't even stand that much of a chance. So I'm batting zero right now in lead actor as far as my personal picks go.
Yeah, I think that is certainly fair. And, you know, and I've loved what Andy Serkis has done over the course of his career. You certainly laid out a few of his big performances. And just speaking personally, he was absolutely one of my top five best supporting actors of 2014 when Dawn came out. I went back and looked at my notes and my nominations for our awards show this year, and I had a lot to say, and he certainly made my top five. But as you said, he hasn't gotten a ton of, you know, I guess more conventional awards love for his performances. But I want to help bring things into perspective here a little bit, because you're saying his chances are probably slim to none. But just to kind of help offer, I guess, a little bit of a different perspective, just to kind of, I'd like to kind of help emphasize your thoughts on where the industry is right now. So let's say that at the end of August, the Academy or all of these critic circles, they had to release their nominations for Best Lead Actor at the end of August. So we don't even get the fall films. Does Andy Serkis, and I know it's CGI, it's very new, it's unprecedented, would he be nominated if they did it, let's say, at the end of the summer? Would he be in contention?
So you bring up an interesting point here about timing, because timing in the awards race is truly everything. If films like Logan or War for the Planet of the Apes come out sometime in the fall, closer to the end of the year, when people are casting their ballots and really truly thinking about films that are the best of the year, it's so much harder for people to look back and think of those films. It's a lot easier for the films that are of top of mind that they just came from the theater from watching to be the film that gets cast down on the ballot. So that hurts Andy Serkis even more. To answer your question, though, yes, undoubtedly speaking, but that's only because lack of competition. Most of the films that are going to feature the big acting performances of this year
have not come out yet.
Yeah, like Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour, or Daniel Day-Lewis in the untitled Thomas Anderson film.
Yeah,
you know, it's still an unknown race at this time. You know, I mean, at this very moment, I think if you asked a majority of people, they would say Hugh Jackman for Logan. They'd say Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out. Maybe even Charlie Hunnam for Lars City of Z would be in conversation. Serkis would be in there. Kumail Nanjiani for The Big Sick. And those are the ones that just come to the top of my mind. I mean, there's Joel Egerton in It Comes at Night. Sure. You know, there's a lot of stuff to still go around, even this early. So do I think that if everything happened in August that he would get in? Yeah. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And do I think that with the performances in the last two films, do I feel any better about this film, quote unquote, winning people over? I say no, because I believe that the Academy is a slave to tradition, and change takes a very, very long time to come into effect. I mean, we're only starting to see diversity change begin to happen over the last 2 years with the Academy. And that's just with its membership. What we still have not seen is the industry as a whole take kindly to major innovations within filmmaking distribution, as we see with things like Netflix coming on board. They just are very, very, very against it. And now when you bring in this whole idea of actors and actors' performances, and the craft of acting is taken so seriously by a lot of people. Digital manipulation of an actor's performance, or in the case of something like, say, what we saw last year with Star Wars Rogue One, or even some people might even say, I'm trying to think of like another example, like say like Avatar.
Yeah.
Like, is that really a performance? Yeah. Is that really the actor and the actor's work? It's tough to say, because even if you scientifically, you know, show how much of it is the actor and how much of it is like subtle changes that were tweaks that were made in the facial movements or whatever it was done by the computer. And let's say over 50% of it was the actor's performance that they truly kept. I still don't think that you can win that argument with people. You know, so even if you have proof saying majority of this is the actor, like we didn't really touch up anything, I don't think that you'll ever be able to convince somebody that the performance is worthy, unfortunately. And it's a shame, because I consider Andy Serkis to be the most important actor to come along when it comes to the craft of acting since Marlon Brando.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, given the digital revolution that we are in with films. I mean, we see these kinds of motion capture performances all the time nowadays, and
yeah,
you know, they're significant part of our movie watching culture. So, you know, I'm certainly in your camp in that. So you're basically saying, though, the Academy itself isn't ready to have that conversation, which is a little frustrating to me, because this was a lot of the conversation back in 2014. That was a lot of the arguments I heard as well, as far as, you know, how much is it Weta or the effects team, or how much is it the actor? And, you know, there's the counter argument to that too, even with conventional performances, how much of it is the editing of the film, or how much of it is the director giving specific direction to an actor. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, and motion capture is, and CGI is just another factor that plays into an actor's overall performance. But going back to what you were saying about the timing of all of this, as well as what you were just talking about there, and as far as the Academy still dubious on the whole motion capture performance thing, if you think they would nominate him now, if they had to put out the nominations now, he would get it. If War for the Planet of the Apes, let's say, came out in mid-December, do you think they would go for it? Do you think it really is just a timing thing, or is it a culmination of everything that we're talking about?
So now, if it did happen later on in the year, I know there are some constituents of mine that would say, still no. Like, it's still not possible.
Mm. Okay.
I think the argument would be stronger. I think you would see a lot of articles dropping in the trades, and then you'd also see a lot of pieces online at the right exact time when the voting is happening, and that like I said, that timing is crucial to keep things at top of mind. I think if Andy Serkis, so let me put it to you this way, he's got a film coming out, right? His directorial debut, Breathe, with Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy, right?
Yep.
So you know that he'll be on the circuit promoting that throughout the fall.
Yeah,
that'll be his top priority. Is to promote that film, get it positioned for good box office, and also for an award season campaign for probably, at this time, Garfield and Foy. We don't really know how the overall film is going to go, but we kind of feel like they're going to get pushed. So imagine if War comes out around the same time, and you've got this man on the circuit promoting both films, and people are going, man, like, you did a really solid job directing Breathe and getting these performances out of these actors. We're not going to nominate you for director, but my God, your performance in War for the Planet of the Apes is so good. And, you know, you get a voter that just goes, man, Andy Serkis really killed it this year. He gave one of the best performances. He directed a movie that was pretty solid. Maybe nothing spectacular. And who knows? Maybe Breathe will flop and it'll be terrible. I don't know yet. But assuming the most positive intent possible, I could see how the argument would be that much stronger. Do I still think it would happen? No. God, that hurts to say.
that is so deflating. As soon as you said that, I just got to sink in my chair like,
because I've been studying this industry for way too long, and I am very, very, very entrenched in what the trajectory generally is as far as these new ideas put forth and these new techniques positioned for filmmaking. Now, I didn't really answer this question before, but I'm going to come around to it. An honorary Oscar.
Yeah.
Now that is very interesting because with an honorary Oscar, he would have to be considered ineligible for an acting Oscar in order for him to basically campaign for an honorary one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would have to be ruled out, essentially, that he could win in a competitive category.
And wasn't that the case in 2014 with Don? I don't recall him being technically eligible at that time.
No, so
or was
with
he?
Don, I don't remember if it was exactly that he just wasn't eligible, or if it or if they positioned him and it just wasn't taken seriously. I honestly don't remember the difference between the two during that time.
Gotcha.
But what I do know is I do know that it just simply wasn't taken as seriously. And it was more, it was disregarded even more, despite how acclaimed it was, compared to Rise. Because with Rise, it was fresh. Mm. It was new. We hadn't really seen anything like it. And it really started the conversation. Dawn, for some people, it was more like, hey, listen, we tried positioning this 3 years ago. It didn't really work. People didn't really care. I'm not going to waste my breath this time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So the conversation was a little bit more muted, even though the praise for him was still just as high as ever. And now it's even more so pronounced because he is the focal point of the movie and everybody is heaping the praise onto him, along with, of course, stuff like Matt Reeves' direction and things of that nature.
Sure.
Now, the ruling goes a little something like this, and I quote, "This award shall be given for an achievement which makes an exceptional contribution to the motion picture for which it was created, but for which there is no annual award category. Such award shall only be conferred, however, for achievements in productions that also qualify under Rules 2 and 3. So what that basically implies here is that his performance cannot be an honorary Oscar for best lead actor performance. There's already a category for that.
Sure.
So it needs to be for something special. And in this case, it would have to be something along the lines of motion capture or digital performance, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But you got to convince a lot of people that digital is still performance and is not manufactured by somebody else sitting behind a computer. And that's where the argument gets tricky.
Yeah. And I can certainly understand that because, you know, if you watch any of these movies or if you watched War for the Planet of the Apes this weekend, I mean, you know, we talked about it on our show. When I joined you for your review on your show, we did talk a lot about the animation and the effects and how stunning all of that is. So, sure, I could see how a lot of people could, you know, put a lot of weight into the effects and how much that helps render the overall performance. So, I guess with that in consideration, do you ever foresee, or how long would it take for the Academy to come around and go, actually, a lot of this comes down to the actor and what they're putting into the character, and we need to consider that either for its own category or taking it into consideration for these conventional acting categories? Do you see that happening anytime soon?
I can say this. I don't think it's happening for the role of Caesar.
Yeah.
I think that something like this will happen within 30 years. He'll be 83 years old in 30 years' time.
Yeah.
They will give him an honorary Oscar when he is much older, unable to do the things that he's able to do now in terms of movement with his knees.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
I mean, that's just the way honorary Oscars go. Very, very rare do younger people or people still within the peak or height of their career still get an honorary Oscar. It just doesn't normally happen that way.
No.
And I also don't foresee it happening for someone that is as popular as Andy Serkis is. And also, too, you got to remember, it's the type of films that he represents as well. Like, they're going to recognize somebody in the crafts categories that never got an Oscar, or maybe an actor for a body of work that never got an Oscar. Like Jackie Chan most recently is like the best example.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody whose entire career deserves to be recognized, but nothing he ever really did was considered Oscar worthy.
Sure.
Now, Serkis, they're not going to do it for this particular performance simply because they just don't go for movies like War for the Planet of the Apes and things like Best Picture, Best Director, and things of that nature. Why in God's name would they go for, you know, its lead actor? It just, and it's unfortunate. There is a biasness there, and it really sucks, believe me.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's just not the way that things are done. So what I do foresee is I do foresee it being an achievement Oscar for contributions to the motion picture film industry for, you know, his body of work. So they're going to do something like this when he is towards either the end of his life or he is retired. One of the two.
Yeah, and that is unfortunate because I do think that the work he's doing now is as good as I've ever seen within motion capture and just in a general sense. Because, you know, I'm with you. Andy Serkis right now by far has given one of the best male performances of the year for my money, and I think he absolutely deserves to be recognized in some sort of way. And given the prowess of the Caesar character and what he did for these movies, I can't imagine what it's going to take for the Academy and all of these awards groups to take it seriously. Is it going to take a Daniel Day-Lewis to strap on the CGI suit and give a performance? I mean, I don't know, but
I don't think that the category will ever be recognized. You know, it's like we'll see best voiceover performance before we ever see something get recognized for computer manipulation. That's or enhancement, whatever you want to call it. That is the unfortunate part about all of this. Mm-hmm. And then also too, you also have to look at it from this angle, and this would kind of piss me off a bit. Andy Serkis feels like the kind of person that does eventually win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor, for a live action role at some point,
yeah,
as an IOU kind of makeup award that also does represent the body of work. I mean, look at someone like Jim Broadbent, who won for Iris.
Yeah,
not really the best, you know, performance in that category that year, but Jim Broadbent had a career at that point, and he had given it quite a couple of great performances.
Sure.
And the best supporting actor category is usually the place to do that. Christopher Plummer for Beginners, another great example.
Yeah.
So I could see Andy Serkis winning an Oscar for a live action film role. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's good enough. It doesn't have to be the best. It's just good enough. And the competition is not that great that year. There's a narrative behind him winning. It's a feel-good moment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That would actually piss me off because that is not what his career is built on.
Yeah.
That is not the imprint that he has left. That is his legacy.
I know.
And that is that would anger me. Like, people would be so happy, like, oh, Andy Serkis finally got an Oscar. No, he didn't get an Oscar for the thing that he is truly most known for. Because when you look back through the annals of time, your Oscar win is something that people will come to associate with your career, whether you wanted to or not. I mean, Marlon Brando's Oscar-winning roles in On the Waterfront and The Godfather, the two roles that people most think of, and then what's behind that, the film that he got nominated for, Streetcar Named Desire.
Yeah.
You know, so Andy Serkis, if he's going to win one, man, make it for something that's truly just iconic and something that is really considered the pinnacle of his career. Otherwise, it just seems like it's phony. You know, it's like you're playing by your own rules to say sorry instead of really, really innovating and instituting a good change within the Academy itself.
Man, I completely, completely agree. And If it's going to take something quote unquote better than what we get with Caesar and War for the Planet of the Apes for the Academy to come around on him and truly nominate him for something he deserves, I can't even imagine what that looks like fresh off the heels of what he did in War for the Planet of the Apes. If he's got something better than that, then God Almighty help us all. But that would be very exciting to see later on down the road. I guess as we wrap up here, you know, it sounds like to me, based off of what you're saying, that it's not going to happen this year. Probably won't happen for a long time. Do you ever foresee the Academy implementing something regarding motion capture, as far as like maybe not an individual thing, but maybe like a movie versus movie thing, or a team versus team thing. Like the motion capture performances and the effects of War for the Planet of the Apes is nominated versus, you know, the same things for an Avengers movie or something else, or Star Wars later on down the road, and that becomes a category. Do you ever see something like that happening?
I mean, anything is possible. Every year when the Academy announces some new rules, we all wait with bated breath that there is going to be a new category that is announced, whether it be for, you know, let me also say this too, in full disclosure, I have higher priorities for categories that I want the Academy sure. to put in besides something like this. Okay. One of them would be for best casting, and that award goes to the casting director of a movie.
Yeah.
Another one would be for the stunt team, you know, and for, you know, the SAG awards do that. They hand out an award for best stunts. So, I mean, I'd love to see stunt guys get recognition, or at least stunt coordinators. You know, because they can't have the whole entire stunt team come on the award and come up on stage and accept the award. But, you know, something along those lines, you know, then when you start talking about performances and the things that we have implemented to really give recognition to these performances, something like voiceover, you know, and you look at certain winners in your mind that pop out that if there was an award for this would have won. Ellen DeGeneres in Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson in Her.
Yeah.
Last year, probably Jason Bateman for Zootopia.
Yeah.
It's another award where actors can get recognized for the work that they are putting in. It doesn't have to be a physical performance, but I think the fear is that if they ever did put something in like that, then that just brings back the argument for motion capture, and that is something that I don't think that they are willing to open up as far as that can of worms is concerned.
That's what I was going to say. There's no way that you can, you know, bring in voiceover and then completely ignore motion capture, which is, you know, especially when you look at Andy Serkis in these films, he's more or less, he's giving a legitimate vocal performance to Caesar. And then on top of that, we do know that there is some sort of physical presence to that as well. So there's an added element to just voiceover. So how do you nominate or legitimize one category over the other? That certainly, you know, is a can of worms there for sure.
You know what you do? If I'm 20th Century Fox and I really, really, really want this to happen, like really badly, you know what I do? I release the film right around the time when the voting is happening on like Blu-ray, and I include on that Blu-ray, and I also re-release this in theaters, might I add, a version of the movie that has Andy Serkis inserted into each shot without the CGI. Yes, he's wearing the suit. Yes, it's not a quote-unquote finished movie, but I would do that as a statement to show to people, look how great this movie still is without all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I mean, again, nothing against the animation team and the effects. All of that is fantastic, but I would love to see that. I would absolutely love to see that, because Andy Serkis, for, you know, for my money, is the heart and soul of these new Apes movies, and I think he absolutely delivers. And perhaps that's why I'm so passionate about this topic. As much as I love those other categories, I think casting directors absolutely deserve some recognition as well. But I'm very passionate about this specific category, because when I watch these movies, or I watch what Serkis did in The Lord of the Rings, or even what Toby Kebbell did in Dawn and with Warcraft, the reason I responded to Warcraft the way that I did, it's not a great movie, but I liked it more than most because of Kebbell's motion capture performance. What he brought to that film moved me, and what Serkis did with War for the Planet of the Apes moved me. And, you know, even some of these more action-y blockbusters, that there's motion capture going on in those films that we can enjoy as well. It's just, it's such a big thing with how movies are made these days that to completely ignore it, I think, is ridiculous in a general sense. But I also think some of these performances are very, very good, and they are in a lot of instances, the biggest thing that I personally respond to, and I'm sure it's the case for a lot of other people as well, and it's also why I would make the argument for the animation on voiceovers that you're talking about as well. Those are legitimate performances that people, and when I say people, I mean these critics groups, they or awards groups, they need to start considering this and thinking about it more seriously, I think.
Yeah.
But
I echo everything you just said.
Okay, well, I will step off my box now.
No, stay on the box. We need more people like you and me. Everybody out there, get on your boxes. Yes. Make some noise about this.
Exactly. And I think that's what has brought a little bit of hope over the course of the last week, because not only are we doing our best with this specific podcast, but you guys have done it. I know IndieWire and other websites, more bigger websites, have started this conversation as well. And I guess if we all collectively start chanting and moaning and complaining or doing something, that maybe things will change. I mean, who knows? But I'm going to do my part anyway. So anyway, thanks, Matt, for being here. We really do appreciate it, good sir. Why don't you tell us, in case people aren't familiar with you, about Next Best Picture and where can we find you on the internet?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, thank you so much, JD. It's always appreciated. And yeah, I miss you and Brendan terribly. Oh, so
we miss you too, man.
Absolutely. You guys can find me on all the social media networks at Next Best Picture, where we are always looking for the next best picture of the Oscars, the Academy Awards, all the award shows. Ultimately, the search is long and it's arduous.
It is.
And there's a lot of crap that we see, but I think that we find some really, really good hidden gems throughout the year. There are some movies that I would never, ever get a chance to see if I did not actually put in the time and the effort to seek them out. Of course, yeah, living in New York is a nice benefit of that, seeing as we do get a lot of movies in the area.
Yeah.
You know, just like give an example, we recently reviewed the Netflix film To the Bone, which is something that anybody could watch online right now. But we try to go out of our way to, you know, see the movies that are not the quote unquote blockbuster films. Although we do that every now and then as well. So we're always trying to find what will be a film that will get some sort of Academy Awards recognition.
Yeah.
And that is truly our goal. We predict the Oscars all year round on our podcast. We are on pretty much everything that you can think of: iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. I mean, like you name it, Next Best Picture is out there. So if any of this interests you at all, by all means, be sure to check us out. And if not, keep listening to JD and the In Session Film Podcast. I'm sure I will be back to convince you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you're not into movie award season necessarily, I still very much recommend Matt and Next Best Picture. I mean, like you're saying, throughout the year, you guys still review Spider-Man, and you also will review A Quiet Passion and the Get Outs of the year as well. So you guys cover a lot similar to what we do with our main show and extra films. So just go listen to them talk about film, and then on top of that, you get some expert knowledge when it comes to award season as well, which I very, very much recommend you go and check out. Thanks, Matt, for being here. We really do appreciate it, man. Also, be sure to go check out episode 230, where we give our thoughts on War for the Planet of the Apes. We talk about our top three moments or scenes from the Planet of the Apes franchise, and we continue our Sajidjit Ray movie series. It was a lot of fun, so go and check that out. On that note, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you guys next time on the In Session Film Podcast.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.